Hello, I'm Russell Evans from Planet Shakers. We're so excited that you joined us today. I'm going to be sharing on the voice of God and how to hear God's voice. It will be life-changing. Why don't you take notes? Why don't you get your spirit ready and sit back and enjoy today's message? I've been speaking on words, you know, and how everything, words form our worlds, how we speak the name of Jesus, praise we talked about. We talked about the power of our words. And so today, I want to talk to you on the other side of words, and that's listening. Because there's no use having somebody who speaks and no one listens. And so it is with God. God is always speaking to us, but my question to you is, are we listening? The title of my message today is, I'm listening, are you speaking? How does God speak? If I had a dollar for every time someone asked me, how do you hear God's voice? I would be a very rich person. Because one of the greatest challenges in someone's Christianity is to understand how God speaks to you. And once you understand how God speaks to you, it changes the total direction of your life, because now you have a two-way communication. It's no longer you just praying and not hearing, but it comes by hearing and praying and communicating with God. God heals you and he wants you to hear him. And so I want to speak to you about this. So I won't touch every part of how God speaks, but I'll get to quite a few. The first one of how God speaks is through his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, everyone say all. Turn to your neighbor and say, all means all. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So in other words, all the Bible is God's word. Not parts of it, not say, well, that part's for me and I don't agree with that part. All of it is God's word. And God's word, the word of God, or word in the Bible, there's two meanings to the word in the Bible. And the first one is logos. And logos actually means what is written down. It actually is the written word of God. And so the Bible is the logos of God. How many know that we need to read the logos of God? But how many know that sometimes you can read the Bible and just read it, and how many know that God wants you to have it enlightened to you? So then comes the next point. Well, Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And this is, again, that word is the word logos. So here we have the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can get, the word of God can get into our lives and speak to our lives and give us direction for our lives and give us a way to live. That's the logos of God. But there's a greater dimension that God wants to bring us into. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word. Now that word, their word, is not the word logos, it's the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, and it actually means utterance of God. So you have the logos of God, the written word of God, and then you have the utterance of God. John 15:17 says, if you abide in me and my words, it's the word rhema, abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be given to you. In the Greek, the word rhema means an utterance. Therefore, the rhema word in biblical terms refers to a portion of scripture that speaks to a believer. In most cases, a rhema word received while reading the Bible applies to a current situation, a need, or a thing you're going through. The rhema word is a timely and extremely valuable word that we get in our Christian life. So in other words, we read the Bible, but God reveals, he breathes on a certain part of it for our situation. I'll give you an example of this. When I was 15, I had a person prophesy over me. And before that, you know, I had so much insecurity, and this guy got up and prophesied. He says, you're going to be a spokesman to the nations and God's going to use you greatly and his hands upon you, and don't say you're young, and he's going to anoint your lips. And And the problem was, as he was saying that, I'm thinking, no, that's not me he's talking about. He's got the wrong person. So my mum went and bought the cassette tape of the prophecy. Some of you don't know what that is. Who can remember cassette tapes? Wow, the first service knew more about cassette tapes than you do, but because they're a little older generally, because older people get up earlier. I was up at 4 a.m., that's how old I am. Watched Manchester United 1-1 and then fell back to sleep and got up and prayed. Cassette tapes, remember the cassette tapes where some of you are old enough to remember that you put it in the car, you had a cassette player in the car, and then the tape would get caught and you'd have to pull it out and it'd be all crinkly and you'd get a pencil or a pen and you... Thank God those days are gone. But I'd put on this cassette tape and I'd listen. The funny thing was, the week after I had that prophecy over me, I was playing in a band called More Than Conquerors. Wasn't a really cool name for a band, so we shortened it and took M from More, T from Than, and C from Conquerors, and we called ourselves MTC. And some people called us Empty Seats because we were so bad everyone would leave when we came. And so there I was, and some of you heard this story, but some haven't. I was there on the stage, and this cute girl was in the second row, so I was like, oh, I worship you, Lord. Thank you. And I'm playing guitar and it gets to the bit that I'm supposed to speak. That's to introduce a song. I'm 15. It's a week after a prophecy that God's called me to be a spokesman to the world, right? And I get up and I'm 15, but I'm a very immature 15 in my body development as in my voice development, if you understand what I mean. So I get up and I say, this song tonight is about Jesus coming back, and if you don't know Jesus tonight, you really need him. And my voice cracked at the moment where it needed not to. So all the band went back to watch the videotape. Some of you don't even know what that is. Like a brick that you put in a machine. Right? And so we're watching this videotape, and it gets to my bit. You really need him. And everyone's laughing. I'm even laughing. That's funny. Then they start rewinding it. You really need him. You really need him. You really need him. You really need him. They did it 50 times. On the outside, I'm on the inside, I make a decision. I will never speak in public again. 1 week before, you're called to be a spokesman to the nations. 1 week later, I'm making an agreement with my insecurity. 2 years later, I have an English teacher that wrote a bad report about me, said about my communication. And so I had these two bad experiences. I had this amazing prophetic word. And so there I am, and I'm confused. I'm 17. I got a call of God on my life, and I'm saying, God, is this from you? What am I supposed to do? Because I was good at sport, I was good at music. Should I be a PE teacher? Should I be Justin Bieber who can't sing? He wasn't even alive probably then. He actually probably wasn't. God, I need you to speak to me. How old is he? No, he wasn't alive. He was in the mind of God, but he wasn't alive. I said, God, I got a famous family. How could I ever do what this prophecy is all about? I need you to speak to me. Is this from you? And I opened the Bible, and I don't usually recommend that. You go, well, what's God saying today? Jesus wept. That's what I do. No. I said, God, I need you to speak to me. And I open up the Bible and open up to Jeremiah. And I begin to read from Jeremiah 1. And one of the things that was in the prophecy is that that before I was even created, God had a call for me to be a spokesman. I begin to read these words. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a spokesman or a prophet to the nations. And there's Jeremiah's reply. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And the Lord replied, don't say I am too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people. I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I've put my words in your mouth today. I appoint you. And when I read that, it was like God speaking himself right in here. It was a rhema word of God. It was an utterance to my spirit. It wasn't just something I read in the Logos. It was something I read as a rhema declaration of God. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That word in that scripture is utterance, rhema. And faith grew, and you are a result of that utterance. That's how we hear from God. So the Logos we need to read. If you don't read the Logos, how can God breathe and give you a rhema? So some of you are trying to find solutions for situations. I'm here to tell you, God speaks through his word, but the Holy Spirit breathes on a part of the word for you. And God just wants you to listen. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. It doesn't say, can hear my voice, may hear my voice. It says, my sheep hear my voice. When you know God, you know what we got to do? We've got to get rid of the clutter out of our lives sometimes and just get with you and God and open up the Bible and start worshiping and start praying and start getting into a place where he can just speak into your spirit. So many people speaking, so many words out there, but there's nothing like when God breathes on his word and all of a sudden faith is birthed in your spirit. He speaks through his rhema word. Another way He speaks through impressions, small voice, impressions that you get. Do this, do that. I remember at one time I was at a shop and I was there and this older lady walked into the store and I'd been going to this shop a lot because I liked the clothes, and I had started witnessing to the shop owner. And the shop owner, I told her about Jesus. She'd gone through a broken marriage. She had two boys, and I told her how God loved her, and she had come from a religious background as a kid and thought God was big and mean and harsh. And I said, no, God's a loving God. And I'd witness to her and tell her about the goodness of God. And I did this for a month. I witnessed to her for a month and bought clothes at the same time. It's a great thing. God, I'm serving you, witnessing and buying clothes at the same time. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I was buying clothes and in walks an older lady. And it's not really an older lady shop. And she walks in, she says, hello, do you sell t-shirts? And the lady goes, yes, we sell t-shirts. She goes, I want to buy a t-shirt for my husband. And the lady, and she goes, my husband's quite large. And then she points at me, she's about as big as him. I felt like saying, come here, lady, let me give you a hug there. God bless you in Jesus' name. So she takes her around. And she says, what's the cheapest t-shirt? And the lady says, the owner says, oh, $50. $50, I can't do that. And she's walking out. I get an impression, a voice, small voice. You buy it for her. I'm like, that's the devil. She called me fat. God doesn't do that. And then this voice, impression, says, and buy the most expensive one. I'm like, that's all right for you to say. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can't even afford a steak today. I said to the owner, I'll buy it for her. So the owner's like, sale time. Oh, come in. I said, yes, dear. The fat guy, he'll buy it for you. What do you mean? He'll buy it for you. So I'm sitting there. Lady comes in. And then I hear the owner go, you know what he does? She goes, no. He's a preacher and he believed Jesus died for you and believed that Jesus rose again, that Jesus comes to give you life and life to the full, and that Jesus has a plan for you and Jesus comes to save you and Jesus is a God of generosity. And I'm sitting there with a James Bond look. Inside, my liver's high-fiving, my heart's going, yeah, preach it, amen, to my kidneys. But I'm just like, I give it, I pay for it with my friend, American Express. And I give it to her, say, hey, ma'am, hope you enjoy it. She goes, oh, it's for my husband. I said, that's cool, have a great day. And she gets to the door and she stops. She goes, no, thank you so much. And I said, it's okay, ma'am, no problem, it's fine. She goes, no, you don't understand. I just came from the hospital. My husband has a terminal disease and he's not very good this morning, but he loves T-shirts. So I thought I'd go out and buy him a T-shirt. I don't even know why I came in here. This shop's too expensive. She says, but he will love it. I start crying. The owner starts crying. The lady starts crying. We're all crying. The music starts playing. By the rivers of Babylon. There's rivers going through. And the atmosphere in that place was changed because I listened to the impression, the small voice of the Holy Spirit. I could tell you other stories, like I'm sitting in a meeting and God, that small impression says, start a conference called Planet Shakers, 1997. It wasn't like this big blah, 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 and showed me that. No, it was just, start a conference called Planet. What's that, God? He said, you'll see. What is a fruit of that declaration, that still small voice. When God spoke to myself in England to say, go start a church in Melbourne. I said, God, what does that look like? He said, you'll see. 12,500 people later, 4 to be 5 campuses in Melbourne, then 2 international to be 3 campuses next year. And what God is doing is amazing. Millions of people singing our songs. It didn't start because I was this great, talented, mighty man of God. No, I just heard a still small voice that says, do this. And I said, yeah, at the end of your obedience is revival. At the end of your obedience is breakthrough. And we hear him through the still, small voice. That's why you got to sometimes just get other voices out of your life and say, I can't listen. You're cluttering up my faith life. How does God speak? Through teachers. Teachers of the word. See, coming to church on Sunday isn't just, well, let's see what. No. If you come with a hungry heart, say, what can I hear from God for my week this week? The Bible has set it up that way. Teachers. And what you honor is what you receive from. Dreams and visions. God sometimes gives dreams and visions, pictures. Dr. Michael Maiden, who is with us here, he's got a great prophetic gift and he sees pictures at times. And one time he's preaching in his own church and there were a couple of his elders sitting on the second row and God gave him a picture of a family member in trouble. Didn't know what it meant, just saw a picture. Didn't even get clarity, just saw a picture of a family member in trouble. And he turns to them and he said, it was 12:30 on Sunday afternoon, and he said, you have a family member in trouble right now and we need to pray. And they're like, we don't know anybody. Inside, they didn't say that. They went, oh, okay, yes, let's pray. Because they believed what God was, they wanted to be obedient at the time. But they didn't know any family member that was in trouble. They didn't know anyone that was in trouble at that moment. So they prayed, 12:30 in the afternoon. He saw a picture. Next day, late in the afternoon, Monday afternoon, there's a knock at the door of the lady who he prayed with that 12:30 that day before. And it's her niece. And she's come in and she's shaking. She's come all the way from Los Angeles and she's shaking. And she says, "What's wrong?" She goes, "I've been through a horrific time and you're the only person I thought I could come to in need. I'm in need." She said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, you know that I haven't been living right and I've been doing drugs and I was in a drug dealer's house and I got kidnapped and I got tied up and I was put in another room and I could hear them talking how they were going to kill me. I could hear them speaking how they were going to kill me. I'm in this room, I'm tied to a chair, I can't move, the windows are shut, and all of a sudden, all my things that were holding me down fell off." She said, "Then the windows opened, and I ran out, and I haven't stopped running for the last 36 hours. I got on a plane to come here, and I'm here right now, 36 hours. She said, "When did the things fall off?" She said, 12:30 yesterday afternoon. See, God, so there'll be times God gives you a picture to pray for and you go, "I don't understand what it is." But when you do, you release something of God to move. God speaks in visions and He speaks in dreams. Another way God speaks is through circumstances. Doors will open. Sometimes doors won't open, by the way. Or sometimes some doors that are opening are a trap to ensnare you. That's why you need to make sure that when you follow the doors that are open, they line up with what the Word says. I'll give you an example. I had a young man many years ago, back when I was a youth pastor, young adult, and he was a success, looking to be successful in certain things and doing pretty well in his job. And he had this opportunity in another country to go to, and it was going to make him lots of money. And he says, this is God, this is God. And there's something inside of me that says, "Oh, I'm not sure." And I said to him, "You know," I said, "this sounds great, but is there a church there?" Because he was going to go there for 4 or 5 years. "Is there a church that you can get connected to?" He goes, "Well, no, there's not really any churches." And I said, "But what about," she had a young family. I said, "What about your young family? They need to be in the house of God, because the Bible says those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. Not that those who are planted in your business will flourish, but those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. So you need to make decisions connected to principles in the Bible." He goes, no, "This is right." And I said, "Okay, cool, no problem." He came back and saw me 3 years later. He'd made lots of money. His marriage fell apart. He's not with his kids now. And because of a decision that was seemed like an opportunity actually became something and ensnared him and held back part of his future. But sometimes there are opportunities, just like this building. We had board members going past looking for, we went from place to place looking. And then one day, one of our board members said, "I found this place," and it was like an opportunity that happened. You see, so sometimes it's through circumstances that God is speaking to you. Sometimes it's peace. You have a peace that surpasses all understanding. So everything else says it's not right, but there's a peace inside that says it's okay. There's been times as a leader, I'd be sitting there and I, you know, things are happening around me and I'm like, "God, there's storms and there's this attack and this," you know. People think being a pastor is the greatest thing in the world. I like being a pastor because it's the thing God's called me to do. But here's the deal. Being a pastor, you have to deal with rejection. You have to deal with, you got to pay budgets. You get attacked. You get things happen to you. You get great people who enjoy you and celebrate you. But there's so many diversities. There's attack, spiritual attack and all that. And so it's not always easy, but I know I'm here because God has called me, and it's even if I am attacked by situations or attacked by my own thoughts, I have peace in God because He's given me a word. See, ultimately, all these things, circumstances that are opened by God, dreams and visions, people God puts over your life, teachers, impressions, the still small voice of God, the Logos and the Word of God, they're all, you can sum them down to one word, revelation. God's revelation, revealed purpose for your life. So, let me... Well, I'm just checking out the time. Whenever I look up there, I'm looking at the clock or someone sending me a note. Hurry up, get off. My dad, who's a very wise man, see, there's day-to-day decisions that you need to hear God in, but there's major decisions you need to hear God in. And with major decisions like who you marry, like your careers, your futures, your church that you're in, that's a major decision. Church should not be just a minor decision. It should be a major decision. Because if the Bible says those planted in the house of the Lord will flourish, then where you're planted determines your flourishing. Major decisions. And he said, when you have major decisions in your life, he said, you need to do a... give this illustration. He said, there was this ship that used to come into harbour. And on one side was rocks and on another side was rocks. And what they would have to do is they would have to line up all the lights. There were three or four lights that would have to, if they weren't lined up, then they knew that there was danger on each side. But they lined up the lights, and when the lights lined up, they knew it was safe to come in. When you make major decisions in your life, I would suggest to you that you line up not just one thing, I have an impression, not just one thing, I have a circumstance, or I heard God speak to me, but that you would line up those lights. When those lights are all in line, you go, okay, I know that I know that I know that I know. It might be a prophetic word. I had a prophetic word, but I needed a rhema word, and I needed people around me who saw something in me to say, no, you're called to be a spokesman. It lined up. When God called us to plant this church, it wasn't just I heard God speak. It was... there's so many situations and circumstances around, and the people that were over me, which was my brother, which was hard for him to let me go because I'm so good looking and he's awesome. But you know, we'd been working together for years, but he said, I remember when I sat to him and I said, Ashley, I sat in his car and I said, Ashley, this is what I feel God's saying to me, and I'll do what you feel. And he said, no, this is right. It's sad, but it's right because you're moving to Melbourne. So there were, when we moved here, there were people in my life, there were circumstances in our life, there was a rhema word that we had. So we knew that when we left Adelaide, and we loved Adelaide a lot, by the way, we were so parochial about Adelaide. And now I go, the only thing good thing about Adelaide is the road to Melbourne. But, you know, but it's a major decision. And the lights lined up when I married Sam. Circumstance, she's hot. What did godly people who I'd submitted my life to say? Yes, this is right. What did God say? I remember one time I was a little confused, so I went away and I said, God, I need you to speak to me. And he spoke so strongly to me, and I am so glad I made that decision to marry my wife. She has been the best person to marry that for me that I could ever marry. Why? Because I just didn't go on, oh, she's hot, so I'll make that decision. No, no, no. I made a decision based on what God said, what my circumstances said, and what people around me said. Major decisions. So don't make major decisions based on, oh, I feel this. Guess what? That feeling can change in a second. Get it lining up. God's called me to do this. Okay, what local church are you going to be planted in? Because I so believe in God's plan is that plant people in local churches, because it's in the local church that you flourish. The Bible says, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. That's why I'm so passionate about God's church, because God's church is not perfect, but because people are in it. But God's church is God's method to release revival in the nation and also blessing in our own life. I was in one church for 30 years. In that church, I met my wife. In that church, I got the call of God in that church. I had the opportunity to develop in that church. I built relationships in that church. I had God speak to me about Planet Shakers. See, I was planted, and out of being planted, if I went from place to place to place to place to place, I would live in a moment of, oh, God says, God says, God says, and I don't actually live planted to actually see what God said in my life established. Ooh, I'm enjoying this. I don't know about you. Because as I said at the beginning of the message, John 10:3-5 says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and he brings them out to his own sheep. He goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is what Jesus is. He's the shepherd. Yet they will no means follow a stranger. What is a stranger to me in this story is somebody who would take you from your destiny, but flees from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So God, the key to success in life is knowing God's voice. The key, well, how do I do that, Russell? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Clear out the rubbish. That's why prayer is important. That's why keeping a good, soft heart is important. That's why having good relationships is important. That's why not carrying offense into the next day is important. That's why living in his presence and conscious of him and always asking him. I remember sitting down with Reinhard Bonnke one day, and Reinhard Bonnke has had massive challenges in his life, massive. And we're sitting down in Denver Airport, and Reinhard Bonnke had people come and say, you should do this with your ministry, and you should do that, and you should do that. And he'd go, thank you very much. Very German, praise God, right? Very, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. But he would go away and say, God, is this what you're saying? Is this what the people around me are saying? And he said, look, I just had to keep what God had called Reinhard Bonnke to do. And God has called Reinhard Bonnke to win souls, souls. And he starts, we're in the restaurant, the guy, and it's not like an Australian restaurant, because Australians don't serve very well. Americans always wanting money, so they get any more, any more, any more, and you just get drink after drink, and that's why you pee a lot when you go to America, because all the drinks are free, and in Australia you've got to pay for them, so I'm not going to do that. And so he's going, souls, 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 and this waiter's going. But what has made him successful as probably the greatest soul winner that the world has ever seen? He knew the shepherd's voice. He had to know the Logos. And as to knowing the Logos, see, the Pharisees knew the scriptures, but they didn't know Jesus when he turned up, who was mentioned in scripture the whole time. Because you can know you can know scripture, but until God reveals it to you. That's called Rhema. Logos gives you direction on how to build your life, but Rhema gives you that moment of faith that takes you to the next level. So this morning, you are the nicest church that put up with this bald guy. Love you to life. Power in my words. I'm not going to love you to death. I'm going to love you to life. That's right. Get rid of the distractions, the things that would confuse you. If you ever have confusion, do you know God's not the author of confusion? So clear out the noise. Just get with you and him and listen to what he says. Listen. Don't listen to your circumstance. Listen to what he says. Listen to his direction. Be a sheep that hears the shepherd. You say, well, how do I know it's the shepherd? If your heart is clean, if your heart is God, I'm not holding anything. I'm letting go of anything. And I just want your will for my life. And let the shepherd speak. And here's the deal. The shepherd speaks in different ways to different people, because people hear differently and respond differently. I was told this, that how they teach pilots to fly is one of the things that's a big problem to pilots is if there's no oxygen in the plane, you fall asleep. You actually can't teach a pilot. You say, well, this is in the manual. This is what happens when oxygen comes out of the plane, because each pilot has a different manifestation of what happens to their body when the oxygen is taken out of the plane. And so what they do in their training is in the simulator. Thank you, Vonnie. Her husband's a pilot for Qantas, one of our elders. They take the oxygen out of the plane and they write down what they're feeling in their body at that time, because each person responds to lack of oxygen differently. So if they're flying in their plane, and let's say one in the training was getting a twitch in their hand, the hand starts twitching, they go, I better check the oxygen. And they check the oxygen. Maybe somebody gets a pain behind its ear, or there's something happens to their body, and so they check the oxygen so that there's safety to fly to their destination. It's the same way God moves. He touches people differently. Some people might shake under the power of God, and God's doing something in them. Other people might just get creative ideas. When you understand how God speaks, that's what you've got to tap into for you. Not for someone else, but for you. And then He'll reveal His purposes to you. So would we just clear out? Could we do this? This is the picture I get. Could we get the dial like a radio and tune it in and get it right on the station? Let's get rid of the static and the other voices. Just tune in. Just tune in to His voice. Just for a moment. Just tune in for Him. Forget about what you're doing tomorrow, what you're doing in the future. Just tune in. What your parents are saying, what your kids are saying, what you're saying. Just tune into what He's saying. Tune in.